See if this will behave.
For those of you who are visiting with us, everybody else here knows I've never done this here before. Had any kind of a visual presentation like this with a lesson. So if any of this is bumpy along the way, bear with me. I had a couple of things I wanted to go over this morning, and I found some things that would be best taught by the people who were affected themselves. There was a phenomenon going on in the world of entertainment in which a very normal British farm wife became an entertainment sensation in England by the quality of her singing. But she was so plain looking and so plain, such a plain character, that nobody could have imagined or would have imagined that such a plain individual would have produced such a beautiful entertainment. And as a response to that, there are some things online that that sort of spoke to that. And in our study about bringing the love of God to people, to me, it fit very closely. And it's something I wanted to follow up this week. I wanted to follow up this week with what we've been talking about as people who are of the love of God and who bring God's love to others. It's absolutely what we're about. I want to thank you all for your prayers and attention from last week. For those who don't know, Carol and I had to leave rather quickly just before the lesson, immediately before the lesson. She had some chest pains. It turned out to be something she's had before and not dangerous, particularly dangerous anyway. And we got immediate attention in the back of the room by our own in-house medical staff. And we went down the road to Valley Hospital. She was feeling much better when we got there, was feeling fine by Sunday night, perfectly normal. And she's in Ohio now. She took a trip. She flew out with Carol and with Andrea and the baby Monday morning, and they're enjoying 2 weeks in Ohio, and they're doing great. And I want to thank Lauren for speaking with no notice. But right now, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and pray that we can be a family that loves you, serves you, Father, that gathers together, that assembles together as much as possible in each other's homes, in our Bible studies, and of course here on the first day of the week. Father, help us to be obedient to your word. Father, we lift up to you those around us who are hurting. There are some who are not here today who are hurting emotionally and spiritually. There are some with serious difficulties in their lives and challenges ahead of them. The Taylors are considering their or stepping forward in adoption, and the Hufstetlers are leaving the area and leaving their foster child behind, and just all sorts of challenges and heartaches and things in our lives that we just turn to you, Father, because you are the source of direction and comfort and purpose for us. Lord, we pray that this lesson glorifies you and we learn a great deal from it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We had homework a couple of weeks ago. We had some homework here, and the homework was to be done in the application of God's love to be done in the month of May. You can think for a moment what the five things to do right now were. You remember them? You don't have to say them out loud. But we had five parts of our homework to be done during the month of May. Let all you do be done in love. But the five things we're trying to do, there. One was, be kind to an enemy. Now, not all of us particularly have anybody who's an enemy to us. So to broaden that is to be kind to somebody who's been unkind to us. Specifically, return, in obedience to God's word, return kindness to somebody who's been cruel, mean, heartless. Difficult. Invite a neighbor is in the broad sense those we meet, live near, work near, or pass by as we go around our days, but invite a neighbor to our assembly, to our Bible studies. Connect with somebody for the cause of Christ. Number three, meet a stranger. Specifically, meet somebody. Go out in your movement around this valley or around your life. Connect with somebody that you don't know or didn't know before. And make the connection for the cause of Christ. Work the conversation around to an invitation. Work the conversation around items of faith. Whatever it is, but connect yourself with somebody you didn't have a connection with before. Get to know another Christian. Now, I know the month of May is not a long time to get to know somebody, so I read the word start. But pick somebody who you didn't know very well before and make a connection with them. A conversation here, a cup of coffee together, a meal together between families, whatever it is. Make a connection across the congregation. And finally, connect with somebody or contact somebody who's pulled away, who isn't attending, who is hurt, who maybe it's just individual. Maybe it's somebody who's pulled away in your relationship with them. But those are the five things to be done during the month of May. Five items during the month of May for us to apply the love of God in our own lives. We need the exercise. This kind of exercise is just like exercising muscles. And it's like exercising muscles in a lot of ways. One, it takes a decision. It takes a decision that we often don't want to make. I don't want exercise. I like myself flabby. I don't want to put my muscles through it. And oh, by the way, my muscles don't want to be put through it. And they let me know they don't want to be put through it. So many aspects about it are similar to physical exercise. And the results are similar, too. If you get yourself into a pattern of exercise, just walking, climbing stairs, simple carrying things, working on projects, you'll end up feeling better. You'll feel better emotionally. You'll feel better physically. And you'll treat people better. And you exercise your love of God, you'll feel better. Physically, emotionally, and obviously treat better. And the more you exercise, the more capable you are. And the more you exercise this, the more capable you'll be. Our Heavenly Father loves the unlovely. There's one thing you know about God. Please set that for sure. That He loves those who aren't lovable. He has said this over and over in Scripture. And in our lesson and in our reading this morning, did you catch what Jesus did with the leper? Did you catch what Jesus did with the leper? What's one thing that nobody would do to a leper? Touch them. Jesus could have healed that man from 100 miles. He could have healed that man across the courtyard, across the pathway, across the field. But He went and He touched him. He touched him. Jesus was quite deliberate in touching people where they needed to be touched. We must too. Remember this from a couple of weeks ago? Our cards. Where did mine go? I had mine here somewhere. Our little cards. We passed these out a few weeks ago. Yet not my will, but yours be done. That's our call to God in all that we do and all that we are and all that He asks of us. And those words of Scripture from Luke are superimposed over replica 10-inch nails, the replicas of what was found in digs of the Roman society, of the types of nails that would have been used to crucify somebody. You see, our love for folks around us is challenging. It may be difficult for us. It is so rewarding, and it is so refreshing to get good at something like love. But it's absolutely our submission and obedience to God that brings us to that point. So we don't put this off as something like playing the piano. Oh, I wish I could, but I don't have time, and it takes a lot of practice, and at my age, I'll never be very good at it, and I don't have time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we just leave it off to the side and may regret it. We'd love to be able to play the piano or other things like that. This isn't that sort of an optional part of our faith. Our Heavenly Father loves people. And therefore, it is our duty to love people. You see, most of the time, people only interpret God's love by what we do. Even though God's love is perfect, even though God's love is shown perfectly in the man and the action of Jesus Christ, even though every day, every moment of every day in the creation around us, we are given an infinite number of parts of God's love. Most of those, although loud and clear and constant, most of those are not seen or felt or noticed by people on a day-to-day basis. What they see and what they notice and what they feel are how they're treated, how other humans treat them. Jesus went and touched the leper. Not my will, Father, but yours be done. If you'll excuse me a moment, I'm going to transition this into the little video clips that started me doing this electronically this morning. This is a little clip done by CNN, CNN.com, and this is where in putting together, it was sort of serendipity that I ran into this. I was putting together this lesson, and these are people that responded to CNN's request. Susan Boyle, the first name up there, is the British lady who was so astounded people. She was such a plain-looking lady and astounded people with her talent. And so CNN asked people, have you been judged by your appearances? And these are the videos and the clips that they got back to that request of people around the world who wanted to respond to, have you been judged? And I want to play three of these and look at one others real quickly. We'll start with this lady, showing a picture of her as a girl. I can't zoom in on this, so we'll just take it as it is. Don't you love it? Yeah. No. I did everything. I tested this all here yesterday. I did everything this morning except retest this one part. Don't you love it? There it is. I'm connected. It says I'm connected. Let's try this again. You know, I might ask my son up here to redo this. Yeah, Adam. I'll go on with my lesson. Brady, can you come up here and reconnect me to...
He's working on it in your office.
Oh. Okay. Well, let's go back to the lesson, to the scriptures. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. God gives us this teaching in 1 Peter chapter 3. This one in particular is to ladies. And it reads, "Your adornment must not be merely external. Braiding of hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, or putting on dresses. But let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." God tells us in Scripture repeatedly that He looks to the inner man, that He looks inside of us, that He seeks us to be true on the inside. But the reality of what we do, the reality of the way we live, is we are constantly judging people and ourselves on the outside. 99% of the time when you say somebody's beautiful, what are you referring to? The way they look. The way they look. Pretty people are easier to walk up to and talk with. Attractive people are easier to make conversation and relationships with. And we put a great deal of value on attraction. Look at the way we dress. Look at how much money we put toward fashions and makeups and style of our vehicles, of ourselves. Everything around us, entire stores are dedicated to just this one issue, to make ourselves attractive. God was very clear back in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. God speaking to Samuel about David. "Do not look at his appearance . 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, "The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance." We back up. "Or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." God looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. We're back. Hang on. Brady, give me sound. Turn it up. See the photograph of her there? Did you hear her? You probably didn't hear her last words. Brady, turn the handheld mic up a bit. Her last words were, "I still complain about my curly hair." Here's this attractive woman with this beautiful flowing hair around her face, and she says, "I still complain about my curly hair." Yes? No? Next one.
"When I was a child, I suffered from hyperthyroid and I had a boil, a tumor, a kind of growth on my thyroid gland, and as a result, my eyes bulged out and I was teased unmercifully by my peers for soap operas to deal with. Because of that, I've been left terribly scarred. To this day, I'm 57 years old, and to this day, I cannot bond with people. I live alone with my three dogs and three cats, and I'm much happier with dogs and cats than I am with people.
There are millions and millions of people in pain because of the way people have treated them. God loves these people, and we are God's hands and voices. We are actively the love of God to make contact with these people who have been so hurt. And oh, by the way, you guys, especially the young folks here, you want to be heroes. You want strength. You want value. You be the kind words and the protectors of those who are mistreated like this woman was as a little girl. The next one here doesn't have a video to it. It's a comment of this man. There's no audio. He writes here about, between picture one and picture two, he lost 200 pounds. He said the way people treated him was dramatic in the value and the attention they gave him as a thinner man than as a heavier man. How much more valuable is he 200 pounds lighter? He's not. But yet we place value in those things. The world places value in those things. She used to feel special. She used to think she was special. Until she turned 7. Two of the women here commented on how they were. They were doing fine until they got to about 6 or 7. And that went until high school. What happens in those ages? School. Both of those girls had mothers who kept them feeling special. I was the cute little red-haired girl. She looked adorable. She still looked adorable at 8, 9, 10, 11 there. But what she was hearing were taunts and jeers and cruel, harsh things being told her. The value that we give people is so important. It's so important. What the world teaches us is so wrong. Have you seen this? Some of you may have. It's been around for a while, I guess. Put this on. Turn the lights off. First half is the makeup. Second half is the Photoshop.
This is an ad, part of an ad campaign put out by Dove Soap. I'm going to play it again, Brady. Put out by Dove. Go ahead. So it's focused on girls, but I want to play it one more time because if you've never seen it before, it goes by so quickly. Go ahead. An attractive, normal-looking woman who probably doesn't consider herself very beautiful in that stage. This is the part that gets you angry if you think about it too much. Go ahead, try to look like that.
Thank you very much.
We read Luke chapter 7 a few weeks ago, Luke chapter 6 rather, a few weeks ago, but I want us to go back there again today. We are the hands and the connections of God to the people around us, to a people who have been stepped on and hurt and judged wrongly over and over and over and over again. Trying to attain a value in this world that'll never be attained. And the preciousness that God has put in each person is beyond priceless. Which is impossible. Of course, priceless is an infinite extreme. But still with God, it's like His love. It's beyond. In Luke chapter 6, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Verse 32, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinner in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." We have this value system in the world in which we give to people as we see them valuable or as they're valuable to us. If you're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You cross me and I tell you what, you'll... Don't we? We are taught that and reminded of that. 1,000 ways from Sunday, I tell you what. And even Sundays we're reminded of that at times by the way we act and live and treat each other. You see, our value system of loving people despite the way they act, loving people even though they treat us poorly, giving to people even though we'll get nothing out of it. When we do that, we will be children of God. That's when we'll be acting like Him. And those folks who are being so hurt, and we give them God's love in our actions, and you'll be changing folks. And it starts right here. It starts right in this room, in the way we treat each other, in the love we give to each other. It starts right in this room as we defend and lift up those who've been downtrodden and think little of themselves. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Start in verse 14. Paul's prayer to the church. This is Paul's prayer for you and I. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being, catch this, Paul's prayer for us, you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. Paul wants us to know the length and breadth and height and depth of the love of Christ. Not just ourselves, but to be rooted and grounded in it, that we may live in it and apply it to others. If anything is repeated in Scripture, it's that we're to be loving one another. It's that we're to use God's love and give it to others. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I left this Scripture up here for a purpose. And I left off the phrase that went right before it for a purpose. Because we sometimes talk about the assembling together, the being together, how vital it is that we are together, and we must be together as a church. We are not individuals out there doing Christ's work. We are a body working together for Christ, who then go and live our lives and come back together and live our lives and come back together. I left off the phrase that's just immediately before that in Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. The five parts of our homework assignment. The five parts of our homework assignment. Do something kind to somebody who's mistreated you. Connect with a neighbor or someone and invite them to come to services with you. Meet a stranger and get to know them, or at least connect with somebody you don't know, a stranger. Connect with somebody you don't know at church, don't know well, and grow that relationship, and contact someone who isn't here, who needs encouragement in the body. If not connect, speaking of not having contact. The value of what God has given us is infinite. The gift that is in Christ, what has been done for us, is more precious than you can know. And there's nothing more important and more vital than to connect somebody whom only you have a connection to here. That's why the meeting one another, that's why the connecting across our community is so precious in all of our hands, because even though you may not be an evangelist in by definition in the body, you are still one of God's only connections to some people. So take those connections and make the most of it. Apply the love and the kindness of God to the people around you. Lift up those who have been downtrodden and have been lied to about what's valuable and what's beautiful. God looks at the heart. The beauty of people around us is in their hearts, is in who they are by God's creation and God's gift. This morning, if there's anybody here who has not been reunited with God in Christ, we do not want the day to go by without that being done. You are priceless. So precious that God had his son die so that you wouldn't have to. If there's any here who have been struggling with one difficulty or another, we just sang a song a little while ago. There are no tears in heaven. And we often think about the physical pain that we have in this life. But there's probably more emotional pain in this life than there is physical pain. And there are no tears from that either in heaven. Because heaven is completely enveloped in the love of God. If you're having a struggle on that level that we can help you with, come forward. And remember that it is us who bring the love of God into most people's lives. 5 pieces of homework. To exercise our own love for God and for one another. Whatever your need be, come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.